Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
Let's do it!
Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Well, hello. And thank you for tuning in. It's a 5 o'clock hour. This is a big Thursday if you're a college basketball fan, Pac-12 fan, Oregon fan. I'm getting around to it. I'll catch up. So, what are you guys thinking about? Go ahead. I dare you. I double dare you. 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline for all of your diesel needs. Since 1974, online OregonFuelInjection.com. And we appreciate the longtime support of Sue and Ron and the great people over there. You could also hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. You can try us on Twitter. At 953, the score for the station, for the show at Sports Talk 953. For Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. We got things happening. Like I said, 5:30 pregame from Tempe. We'll have the action right here on 95.3 The Score. Of course, all of the call as the voice of the men's basketball program with Joey Mack. If you're looking on the tube, it's ESPN proper. The other marquee matchup in this conference tonight. At the same time on ESPN 2, Colorado hosting USC. Of course, we have that six-team glut with Ducks and Buffs 9-4, Arizona State 8-4, USC and UCLA 8-5. Arizona hosting Oregon State, UCLA at Utah. And, you know, at this point, it's crazy. A bad loss could be the difference for you vying for a 1 or 2 seed to maybe being a 5 or 6 seed and having to play that Wednesday in the conference tournament. All right, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Kyrie Irving, bye-bye. Season-ending shoulder surgery. That guy is just not durable. I mean, remember when we first got introduced to him as one of the top recruits in the country, he got hurt at Duke and played 11 games. Still went number one overall. Hit the championship-winning shot for Cleveland. So he's got a title. He's obviously got a bunch of coin in the bank as he's a terrific player. But he averages missing about 21 or 22 games a year now. And this year he's only played 20 games. So he's out. The NFL owners have voted to accept the terms of a new proposed collective bargaining agreement. It now goes on to the players. The Ducks' Satu Sabali has said, this is it. Going to make a run towards New Orleans, maybe a natty with Hebert and Sabrina. And then she is going into the very high end of the WNBA draft. And we'll elaborate on that, why David Ortiz is a hypocrite and a fraud. The Yankees, bad news, just so I could whine a little bit with James Paxton, one of the five in their rotation already on the shelf. Now, Luis Severino on the shelf with forearm soreness. So it's basically Garrett Cole, Masahiro Tanaka, and J.A. Happ. And Your guess is as good as mine. Anybody aren't feeling it out there? Is there? I'll go buy a jugs gun. If you hit above 94, maybe I can get you a tryout.
I'll do anything for guaranteed baseball money. I'll go out there. Yeah, I'll pitch for the Yankees. If I need to if I need to get shelled at Yankee Stadium, I'll do it. I think I've got a knuckleball. I don't know. I could, you know, maybe just
only one way to
up.
Find out.
You gotta try.
Sign me to a contract. Write me a check, and then let's see if I could be the first player ever to give up a fair ball hit at a Yankee Stadium. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Bill. Bill, good afternoon. How's it going?
Great, Steve. How are you?
All right. What's up?
Well, I just traveling home, and I heard Nick make the comment about Tua going, you know, possibly what a fit for the Raiders, and it just made me think of the last time the Raiders had an Alabama connection was another left-hander by the name of Kenny the Snake Stabler. So maybe there is something to that.
Yeah, if you want to say every 40 years or so, like clockwork, they pick a lefty from Alabama and it works out.
No kidding. I just thought that was funny. I can't wait to see that new stadium down there. It's going to be fun.
Oh, it sure is. It actually makes me want to go to see a Raider game, which I don't think I've ever said my 58 years on this earth.
I'm going down for the Cal UNLV game the end of August, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Nice. Hey, appreciate the call, Bill. You know, I said every 40 years or so. Actually, they drafted Stabler out of Alabama 52 years ago in 1968. And, of course, by the time 1976 rolled around when they won then their first Super Bowl title in Oakland, but by 79, I think, the Snake had moved on to Houston, then New Orleans. Actually, yeah, 79 was his last year with Oakland, the greatest of the Raiders. But I want to talk about Satu Sabully. You know, it's weird because at our show yesterday, if you were listening, remember I was kind of looking ahead at next season. Somebody had called and asked about the McDonald's All-Americans that were coming and the one who on the roster this year, the big 6'7" post. And then we went through, you know, what the team would look like with Taylor Chavez, Aaron Boley as a senior, and Morgan Yeager, and I guess Lucy Cochran, Holly Winterburn, Jazz Shelley. And I said, for no particular reason, this is, as I've said a million times, I am not an insider. I'm not privy to that kind of information. And I said, well, I'm going to look at the Ducks next year without Ionescu, Hebert, and Sabully. And how weird is that the next day she announces she's going pro and is gone. And she had a sit down with Holly Rowe and flat out says, I'm going to be in the WNBA draft. And remember, for those who say why now, this isn't the men's game. You know, you play into March, and then if you're on a great team, you play into the first week of April. The draft isn't till late June. There's a lot of time to kind of see, get kind of a feel of the lay of the land. But if you remember, the women's Final Four ends in New Orleans April 5th. The WNBA draft is 12 days later. And remember, with Sabrina, it was even a tighter window. Oregon lost to Baylor in Tampa April 5th of 2019. The draft was 5 days later. And I just, a lot of people, why can't, it's like, she's going to be the second or third pick. It's the WNBA. The money is slotted. It's not a matter of, well, if she was in the men's game and she went one instead of going like 11, you know, she would make an extra couple million dollars. That's not the deal. And I would never fault somebody, A, for being purely honest. Now it's off the table, kind of eye on the prize. And remember, she's a game changer. We'll get into that a little bit more as we move it along. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Steven. Steven, good evening. How's it going?
Fantastic. What is your gut telling you about whether the Ducks can beat Arizona State tonight? And what about the women's basketball team for the Ducks? Do you think they have a chance to win either tonight and tomorrow?
All right, appreciate the call. They're playing tomorrow at Cal. If they win by less than 35, I'm buying. As for the Oregon men.
Is that one of those things I need to put on a sticky note?
You can do whatever you like.
Yeah, I'm going to do that just in case.
Because the bottom line is, the men's game, now you're talking your basic 50-50 prop. And why do I say that? Well, maybe because Oregon's a 500 team on the road. And ASU is the hottest team in the conference. And they're going to be all kind of fired up. I did not make a note of the betting line tonight, which, bad on me. But... I have a way to find this stuff out. I would, if I were setting the odds, I probably would have this really close to a pick 'em. And again, it's a 6 o'clock start. What would you say? It's two?
Arizona State 2-point underdogs.
Oh, really? So they feel that Oregon's got the upper hand because the books usually allow a 3 spot for home court edge. So there you go on that. So
is that a basketball thing as well? I knew that was kind of like the go-to for football.
Yeah.
That's the same.
It spills.
Okay.
It spills. So, you know, back to Satu quickly before, because we only have one break. We're off at the bottom of the hour. You know, Coach Graves, who's been a regular on the show now, I think this is the fourth year. Early on, you know, he's referred to Sabully as a unicorn when, you know, that size, you know, and while we talk, justifiably so, when you get to the conversation regarding Sabrina Ionescu, cutthroat competitor, Hebert, warrior queen, the tenacity overall of the team, how unselfish they are. But I'll tell you what, if you look at Satu from her first game in 2017 against the Matadors, Cal State Northridge, to her last game against USC on Sunday, she has just added. I mean, she was already a matchup issue. A, her size. B, her quickness. C, she's lefty. Then she learned to drive right. Then she learned to finish. Then she learned to finish with either hand. Then she became more fierce on defense with her athleticism, providing pressure, cutting off passing lanes. Then a more consistent rebounder. Then a tremendous offensive rebounder. Just more. And, you know, she's just going to be a top three pick, maybe two. So,
pretty good.
And, you know, she's chasing a dream. She's a young woman who's just worked her rear end off, just evolving week by week, game by game. It's just an awesome success story. And like I mentioned on Twitter, one thing, maybe my favorite thing about her, like kind of forget everything I've seen, and we've had her on the show a couple times. I mean, she is delightful. She's just classy young kid. But if you notice, she and her teammates after games, I mean, the kids and fans swarm for autographs and selfies. And I've gone down there many times over the last couple years. I just like to watch them interact. Never once have you seen Sabully with that "is it over yet" face. I mean, when she drinks in the adoration of the fans, she's a very joyful person. So good for her. I hope she absolutely and thinks she's going to crush it at the NBA level, because she's better now than she was, and then she was better a year before that, and it's just better. She has earned this, and I tell you what, now people will not, you know, you don't have to ask anymore. So you think you're going to go to the WNBA? Yes, it's a done deal. See February 20th, the story with Holly Rowe. All right, let us break. And we'll be back and we'll wrap things up and get y'all ready for some serious hoops tonight right here on 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
In our other
road games, you know, we hit a spot where we didn't score, and our defense didn't carry us, and our boards didn't play, didn't carry us. And good road teams, they have board play and defense carry them when the shots aren't falling. And, you know, three of the four losses in conference, we had the lead at halftime, and we just weren't tough enough to finish.
Oregon head coach Dana Altman on where they've struggled and need to upgrade on the road. And it's going to be a raucous crowd. Remember, this is big for Arizona because they've never been a basketball show. A basketball show? How about a basketball school? I mean, if you think about Arizona, UCLA, even Stanford, you know, from around here, Oregon, you could probably say to yourself, oh, yeah, they had that big run that year. Could you think about that for Arizona State? Excuse me. The answer, I'll answer for you. You can't. It didn't happen. Once, 1 year, they won two games. They've never won more. I'm trying to think when Cal had Jay Kidd. Did they make a big run? Maybe Sweet 16? I think Tony Gonzalez may have played on a Sweet 16 team. And I think we ended up looking that up because I think the rarity of somebody who played in a bowl game in football and a tournament game in basketball. And Kidd only played 2 years at Cal. I mean, you took one look at that dude and you're like, yeah, he's probably going to be an NBA player. So there you go, 1993 under, and they had a coaching change mid-year, Lou Campanelli, Todd Bozeman. They went in as a six seed. They knocked off LSU. You know what? Was that Shaq at LSU in 92-93? No, it was the year after. Mibbid, my bad. And then in 93-94, before Kidd got drafted, they got bumped in the first round as a five seed from Wisconsin Green Bay. And then obviously Kidd got drafted and next stop Hall of Fame. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Yeah, a couple of you have texted and thought, you know, considering Satu Sabali is going to be such a high draft pick, the only reason for her to stay above, beyond, you know, maybe a love for school, would be to team up with her sister who suffered season-ending knee injuries back-to-back years. Does that make you wonder about the health of her sister? I wouldn't even want to speculate on that. I've got absolutely no idea. But I'll tell you what. That day in April, how many Oregon fans are going to be glued to the WNBA draft? With the number one pick out of Oregon, with the number three pick out of Oregon, with the number five pick out of Oregon. So how'd the Ducks do this year? And who knows? Is it going to be off another Final Four? Is it going to be off a Final Two? Is it going to be off the first ever Natty? We'll see. But anyway, I did want to get to David Ortiz calling out Mike Fiers as a whistleblower. The guy whose complaint, remember Ortiz when the Mitchell report came out? He never said he was innocent. He was like, this information never should have been released. It's like, okay, what does that have to do with the facts? Factual information is discovered and the crook is angry, their true character and the crime or misdeed is now public record and they can't hide behind it. But, and again, we've all seen Law and Order. Dun, 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 dun. You know, how often defense lawyers try to get evidence tossed. They know their client is guilty, but their job is to sleaze the truth away or taint it. So this guy totally needs to STFU and sit this one out. I mean, again, whistleblowers, those willing to put their reputation or safety at risk so the public can be informed and, crazy thing, know the truth. And as to this, why didn't anybody speak up earlier? Okay, that's a legit question, but it doesn't change the truth. And then he went on his little Kiss Rob Manfred's butt tour and played the, well, it wasn't him who cheated. What does that mean? It's his league. I mean, one of the jobs of the commissioner is protect the integrity of the game. And, of course, he failed miserably. And I like to point out that Ortiz, the man had the audacity. He told people, stop putting the commissioner on the spot and telling him what to do. Are you serious? It's literally the job in the media and the press to ask questions. And what's the catchphrase? Hold people in power accountable. And you know what the crazy thing is? If you followed the case, I mean, let's not forget, David Ortiz could just as easily been victim of a murder. I mean, he got shot multiple times in that bar in the Dominican Republic. And you know how many people got arrested? Six. You know why? Whistleblowers. The people who tried to kill him have been brought to justice. And obviously there were some guys that just want to save their own rear ends, but others pointed out the perpetrators. Ortiz is a knucklehead. That's like, you're coming to the defense of the commissioner? Jeez, using the word snitch. And thankfully, I didn't get to Chris Bosh or John Beilein, who's no longer an NBA coach. So, yeah, let's get ready for tonight because, oh, it's a big one. So, because it's a Thursday, I'm always so Pac-12-centric. And as far as the NBA, a hoopsarama, if you will, the TNT doubleheader underway now, Brooklyn at Philly, Houston at Golden State. You know, I saw an article on ESPN about should Steph Curry play again this season, which is so idiotic. You wonder if a healthy NBA player should play NBA basketball during the NBA basketball season. I mean, he hurt his hand, not a knee or some kind of neck or spinal injury. And 8 days ago, they reported he's taking part in drills and upgrading his conditioning. And again, he's an NBA player. You know what they do? They play NBA basketball. This whole he should just shut it down. What for? He's a professional basketball player. It's basketball season, and he's going to be healthy soon. Such knuckleheadedness. All right, tomorrow's a Friday. We look forward to a big weekend preview and a big recap of tonight. So enjoy. Go Ducks. We'll hand it off to Joey Mack. Thanks for listening to Crunch Time and Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.